This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, into the daily cycle of our lives, when all seems well with us and with the world, when our yoke is easy and the burden light, you break in and scatter our complacency. Into the daily cycle of our lives, when we are comfortable and at our ease, when the fire is lit and eyes are closed, you break in and challenge our dependency. You break into our daily prayers, humble hearts, lay souls bare. You break in. When defenses are down, with an angel's shout or the quietest sound, you break in. You break in. Amen. Good morning. In this gospel this week, we hear a different John the Baptist than the one we heard last week. A lot has changed. Last week we had this John who was this incredible, strong, both in voice and indeed prophet, pointing the way to Jesus. And this week we now have this seemingly disillusioned, doubt-filled man sitting in his prison cell. Yet it's all part of the same story. And perhaps it is part of our learning about what this journey is about. We studied last week about the fact that it is not so much about me, it is about God. And we are not so much called just to wait, but to do what we can do to make a difference. The prayer that I prayed, coming from our Celtic friends, talks about God breaking in, whereas perhaps maybe we are often thinking about we want to break out, where it should be the other way around, about letting God break in. We have the story today of a man in jail, a man in prison. And it causes him to think about that disillusionment that perhaps he is having, because the vision he had about the way this was all going to happen with life is not exactly the way it's coming down. I don't think there is a person in this room that can't relate to that. Life never always works out on a day-in and day-out basis the way that we thought it would. We celebrate this weekend the life of another man who spent a lot of time in prison, Nelson Mandela. 27 years. He teaches us a lot about when life brings us those things that perhaps would not have been our plan, but to allow that to become an opportunity for good. 13 years ago, he did an interview with Oprah Winfrey. And in the course of that interview, he gives insight into how perhaps that disillusionment of prison enabled him to make decisions to let his life make a difference for others. Let's watch that little clip.
You'd also said to me one evening, you said, we made the brain dominate the blood.
No, that's true. Because we had that conflict. Our emotion said, the white minority is an enemy. We must never talk to them. But our brain said, if you don't talk to this man, your country will go up in flames. And for many years to come, this country will be engulfed in rivers of blood. So we had to reconcile that conflict. And our talking to the enemy was the result of the domination of the brain over emotions.
Okay, I'm still trying to understand, though. You began the peace talk, and you end up coming out of prison, and there is no bitterness. How is there no bitterness?
Well, I hated oppression. And when I think about the past, the type of things they did, I feel angry. But again, that is my feeling. The brain always dominates, says, as I have pointed out, you have a limited time to stay on earth. You must try and use that period for the purpose of transforming your country into what you desire it to be. You're a democratic, non-racial, non-sexist country. And that was a great task. And therefore, you had to reject all negative features in your own soul, in your blood system, and focus your attention on the positive things.
He says, I realized that I had a little time left on earth, and he had to make a decision as to what he would do to make a difference for others. We, chances are not going to be spending 27 years in jail. But perhaps the call that John reminds us of today, as did Nelson Mandela with his life, remind us that we too have precious time, and we must decide with our brains how we will use that time. It's not always a matter of the heart. When John was there at the River Jordan, and there he was baptizing his cousin Jesus, and the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son," his heart must have just been filled and filled more and more with joy in that experience. But it's a different thing when you're in a jail cell awaiting your death and to, with your brain, remember what you decided and determined was the right thing and then continue to do it. This is the call that we have. Sure, we decide that this life is not about me and I'm going to make a difference for others. But then all of those things that life throws at us come our way, and we can find ourselves like John. And we can be disillusioned. But maybe the call is to understand that disillusionment, the taking away of the illusion that this whole plan, the way I thought it was going to be, perhaps is not the way it's supposed to be. And that doesn't mean I can't make a difference. It just means it's going to be different than I thought. Leonard Sweet, when he's reflecting on this, says this: sometimes, in fact, most of the time, it is the actions that we take, the stands we make, the convictions we put at stake, that no one else sees or notices at the moment, which make the most impact over the course of time. Every one of these unheralded, unrecorded actions add a dab of mortar, a swish of cement to the supportive structure of those sacrificial behaviors upon which humanity struggles to stand taller than themselves. That's what Mary did. You know, one of the scripture scholars talks about the really small reference we have to the journey that Mary would have taken to Elizabeth in the course of singing that beautiful Magnificat that she proclaimed. But the scripture scholar reminds us that on the way, she would have had to pass by Shechem, the place where Abram and Sarah built their altar and made a covenant with God. She would have had to pass by Jericho, where Joshua led the Israelites to victory in the promised lands after Moses had been buried. She would have had to pass by Shiloh, where Hannah prayed for a son and gave birth to the great prophet Samuel. She would have been reminded in her brain that what perhaps she wasn't feeling in her heart was the fact that God would not abandon us. It would not abandon her. In the prisons of our life, people like Nelson Mandela and John the Baptist remind us that perhaps the vision is different than ours, but the vision is there. The vision is special for each one of us to fulfill. May we open our hearts and our brains to do just that. Amen.